men and women as instruments in drawing lost sinners to himself. Tonight, we will be sharing many stories of God's great faithfulness and grace to all his children from every age. Many of these men and women who we will be speaking of tonight suffered great loss or severe persecution. However, as evident by the words of each of these songs, we can say with confidence that it is because of the Lord's mercies that they were not and we are not consumed. We have an evening of congregational singing, instrumental pieces, and solos planned. It is our prayer that as you hear the stories and sing the songs with us, that you will be reminded of the great, great love of our Savior God, and that you will look to him, whether for the first time or again, for all you need for this life and the next. To start the evening off, let's stand together and sing Psalter 408, a praise song based on Psalm 149. In this psalm, we read, "Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let's rejoice in our Maker and Redeemer tonight."
Song were written by Samuel Rogegast in an attempt to cheer one of his friends who had gone gravely ill. As we read in Psalm 18, "As for God, his way is perfect." This hymn, "Whatever my God ordains is right," is a beautiful hymn of God's a surrender to God's plan, knowing that all that he does is right for our good and for his glory.
Thank you. Grace to the Lord the Almighty was written by Joachim Niender, born in 1650, whose father, grandfather, great-grandfather, and great-great-grandfather, all Joachim Nienders, had been preachers of the gospel. But as a student, this Joachim was wild and rebellious. At 20, he joined a group of students who descended on a church in Germany to ridicule and scoff the worshipers. But the sermon that day arrested him and led him to his conversion. Just a few years later, he was the assistant pastor in that very church. Joachim often took long walks near his home in Germany. They were walks filled with worship, and he often composed hymns as he strolled, singing them to the praise of God. When he was just 30 years old, he wrote these words while battling tuberculosis. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. He died just a few short months later. But through Joachim's short life, his dramatic conversion, and now this hymn that we all know and love, we see the Lord's faithfulness and relentless grace. Praise to the Lord.
Galatians 6, verse 14 says, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." This is the verse that Isaac Watts based our next hymn off of. He had originally titled it "Crucifixion to the World, by the Cross of Christ," but it was later entitled "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross" for easy memorization. Little is known surrounding the writing of this hymn, but we do know of the great impact that it has had and is having throughout the world. As we are now just 6 days away from remembering the death of our Lord Jesus, let us be faithful to survey the wondrous cross and to see from his head, hands, and feet love so amazing, so divine, which demands our souls, our lives, our all.
Charles Wesley, the rhetoric next to him, was an energetic and passionate preacher. When many pulpits were closed to him, he, along with many others, sought to preach in any way he could. And this also included in hymn writing. He hoped and prayed that his hymns would be able to reach many with the truth of the gospel. The Lord answered his prayers, even this very day in this very building. The song we're going to sing was written out of intense desire for men to know the resurrection of the Lord and to know that our God is a living God. Let us stand and sing, Christ the Lord is risen today.
Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, has a life story very similar to the writer of Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, that we sang earlier. When he was a teenager, he attended a George Whitefield meeting with some friends intending to cause trouble. However, by God's amazing grace, he was converted and later dedicated his life to the ministry of the gospel. It was during this time in his life that he wrote the words to this hymn and took special care over the line, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Unfortunately, later on in life, Robert did attempt to leave the God he loved. He left his ministry and ran from God, until one day, while riding on a stagecoach, he sat beside a woman who was reading through a hymnal. When they got talking, she showed him the words to her favorite hymn, not knowing that she was talking to the author himself. The words, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, jumped out at Robert, and he was never the same.
Thank you.
Most, if not all of you, will know that the hymn Amazing Grace was written by John Newton, who was once a hardened slave trader. The Lord captured the heart of John in a very amazing way, and God's amazing grace remained central to his thinking throughout his ministry and life. When it was suggested to John that he retire due to poor health and a failing memory at the age of 82, he responded with, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior." On his tombstone reads, "John Newton was, by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had so long labored to destroy." God's amazing grace has and continues to save many wretched sinners through the sacrifice of our Savior on the cross. Let's stand and sing of this grace now.
Even during our most painful experiences, Carolina Sandelberg understood this truth personally. She was never a physically strong child, but she spent many hours with her dad, who was a pastor, and in his study, she grew especially close to him. When she was 26 years old, she went with her dad on a trip to Sweden, and as they stepped onto the deck of the boat had tipped, throwing her dad overboard. The crew tried to save her dad, but Carolina ended up watching him die. Carolina went on to write the next hymn as a testimony to God's faithfulness even after incredible losses. At the loss of her earthly father, she grew closer to her heavenly father. She discovered that even during the greatest losses, God's comforting presence was near. In Deuteronomy 33:25, we read, "As your days, so shall your strength be." This is true of Carolina and every saint in the past, and it continues to be a promise for us as we travel life's journey.
Thank you.
Perhaps one of the most well-known hymns was written by Horatio Spafford in the wake of a deep tragedy. Horatio was a successful businessman in Chicago with a lovely family, a wife and five children. However, they were not strangers to tears and tragedy. Their young son died from pneumonia in 1871, and in the same year, much of their business was lost in the Great Chicago Fire. 2 years later, Horatio sent his wife and four daughters on a ship to Europe to start a new life there. He promised to follow a few days later after he wrapped up some business. About 4 days into the crossing of the Atlantic, the ship collided with another. Suddenly, all those on board were in grave danger. Within 12 minutes, the ship had sank, and along with it, the four Spafford daughters, aged 11, 9, 7, and 2. When Horatio's wife arrived in Europe, she sent her husband a telegram, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" Horatio immediately booked passage on the next available ship and left to join his grieving wife. With the ship about 4 days out, the captain called Horatio to his cabin and told him that they were over the place where his daughters had died. According to Bertha Spafford, a daughter born after the tragedy, Horatio wrote, "It is well with my soul while on this journey." In the days following the death of his four daughters, he wrote, "Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." This hymn continues to be a comfort and encouragement for many saints today. Let's stand as we sing this hymn together.
of the hymn, How Great Thou Art, begins with Mr. Carl Gustav Boberg. He was a Swedish pastor, editor, and member of the Swedish Parliament. Carl was enjoying a nice walk in nature when a thunderstorm suddenly appeared out of nowhere. A severe wind began to blow. After the storm was over, Mr. Boberg looked out over the clear bay. He then heard a church bell in the distance, and the words to How Great Thou Art began to form in his heart. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands hath made. Can you imagine what Carl felt as he formed these words? There was such calmness after the fierce storm, he could only utter those words of peace. Naomi will be playing this for us, and as she plays through it, think through the words and thank God for not only his special revelation through his word, but also his general revelation in nature.
good to draw near to God. It is only when we are near to God that we can find true rest for our souls. As we read in Matthew, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is a hymn that is also quite dear to us young people. We sang it the night after our friend had passed away in January. It is also a great comfort for many of the saints who have also suffered loss and hardship.
Lehman wrote this hymn, "The Love of God," while living in California during a time of financial trouble. There he was subjected to hard manual labor, and one day during short intervals of inattention to his work, he picked up a scrap piece of paper. There he sat on an empty lemon box pushed against the wall with a broken pencil. Overwhelmed by the love of God for him, he wrote the first two stanzas of the and chorus of this song. The third stanza of the song had been found penciled on the wall of a patient's room in an insane asylum. It is unclear how these three verses were combined to form the song we know today, but it was very clearly in God's providential plan to bring sinners to himself. Let's stand as we sing the love of God.
As we wrap up this evening, it has been our hope that God and God alone has been glorified through the stories and songs. We read the following verses in Psalm 86. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. And in Jude 24 and 25, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Mark will be singing God and God Alone, written by Steve Green for us, after which we will sing one last song together before ending the evening.
Reflect upon God's word. past, we also know that he continues in the present and